Japan since 1988.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I'm not going to get accustomed to this KK thing.
No, I don't think you should.
You know what? But you see, if I get mad at him, I just hit him with this. Hey, KK, enough of the stuff, KK. We have KK, okay. We have Gene, we have Chris.
That's my stage name, dude.
Hey, dude. Okay. I had a stage name once, but you don't want to hear it. Okay, so you're part of, before we go back to Shag Harbor, you're part of the Roswell Dream Team. How'd you get sucked into that assignment? Sorry to say now.
I was simply asked. Kevin had, I've known Kevin for a number of years, and we've been corresponding on a number of items. They were looking for someone who really was, knowledgeable about some of the work that had been done on the Roswell case investigation, but not someone who was directly involved so that they could be sort of independent and objective assessors of what some of the reinvestigations rediscoveries can find. I guess I have a reputation as, again, we've said it right from the top of the show, I tend not to believe nor disbelieve. In fact, I often say I don't think you should believe the believers, but I think you should be skeptical of skeptics. And with that reputation, I guess I've been sort of viewed as the, independent objective assessor, if that's possible.
That's possible. And also the reality check.
The reality check, yeah. Let's step back a little bit and take a look. What are the points of evidence that we really have? Are they really valid? Are there really no other explanations? Is this particular avenue a false hope? Are there red herrings involved? What's really going on? In fact, that was the subtitle of my book on abductions. What's really going on? Let's forget about the subterfuge and the biases. Let's take a look at what's really going on.
Well, Chris, do you think you're ever going to be able to, I don't care how blue ribbon and august the panel is that reexamines Roswell, do you think there's ever a snowball's chance in hell that we're going to find out the definitive answer to what happened at Roswell?
I don't know. I'm willing to look at evidence and to try and assess what's really going on. I think there's probably some evidence that remains to be uncovered in terms of documenting some of the military activity, some of the procedural evidence, what was being said, some witnesses that may still be, certainly not the witnesses alive, but some
I'm not
diaries.
Sure.
I think we're going to need a Ouija board or a medium to recover some of that.
But certainly some family memories, perhaps some diaries, some journals, that type of thing, and certainly so the possibility that there might be some documents. Although my view on documents tends to be pretty skeptical in that. I really don't think that with the length of time that's passed, we're going to be finding any particular documents that are going to be, saying, yes, we definitely have the saucer or anything like that. But I think it's possible that there was some sort of military exercise going on. No, I don't think it was the
Wernher von Braun down the road to White Sands.
Yeah, well, they're not necessarily the Skyhook balloons or the Mogul balloons or the dummies or whatever. I suspect that there was something going on. I mean, Operation Paperclip was going on in that area, and that was the project that brought German scientists to the United States from working on the V-2 rocket program. So there was some interesting stuff going on at that time, and there probably is some documentation that we haven't seen yet regarding those types of exercises. Remember that the Charles Mantell case was never fully explained until the U.S. Navy fessed up that it had a secret project going on. So I think there's a possibility there is evidence to be uncovered yet, but we have to be very careful in assessing the evidence, and whether it's aliens or something else, I think we have to keep a completely open mind, and that's the best way for science to approach any subject.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's the only way. It's the only way
Absolutely.
You can approach it. But Chris, you want to make a bet? I'll bet you.
There's nothing there?
What you might uncover are questionable documents. That's the only real, to me, that's the only possible thing that could come out of this in terms of new information. I mean, that poor mule's been flogged and every which way but loose. And I think a case like Shag Harbor, which I'm sure was very impressive to you growing up, as it was, I think a lot of Canadians, it's Speaking of good Canadian cases, give us your top three cases and tell us why you think they're the most compelling Canadian cases.
Okay. I think certainly Shag is one of them, but I would actually place the Falcon Lake case above that one. This happened also in 1967, where an amateur prospector was alone by himself in the woods in an isolated area of Manitoba near the near the Ontario border, which is sort of straight up from Minnesota. A flying saucer, for all intents and purposes, a Hollywood-style saucer-shaped object, landed on a rock outcropping not too far from him. He approached it. He drew some diagrams. An opening appeared. He stuck his head in. He touched the side of it. It was hot. It melted his gloves. The opening shut, and a blast of hot gas set his clothing on fire and the pine needles and so forth on fire, and the thing took off. He was treated by doctors. He went to the Mayo Clinic for treatment, Mayo Clinic psychiatrist. Note the inclusion of a psychiatrist in the UFO study, decided that this man does not make up things. His background was such that he was a very solid individual. There were marks on the ground. The pine needles were discovered. It was investigated by the United States Air Force. In fact, it's included as case number 22 in the Condon report. The conclusion in the Condon report that it was unexplained, that there was no explanation for what had occurred. There was radiation that was found at the site. There is physical evidence. He was physically ill. And we have several hundred official documents ranging from United States Air Force docs, Canadian Air Force docs, RCMP, other police, other officials. We have all the documentation that this definitely occurred. And what's more, this fellow never spoke in terms of alien spaceships. He thought it was some sort of military craft that he was burned by, maybe an early Apollo landing something or other. And,
interesting, Chris, that you mentioned that the U.S. Air Force was involved. What was their official capacity? Now, are you talking about investigators attached to the Condon report, or did the U.S. Air Force actually assist in a Canadian case like this?
This was a Blue Book case investigation. So, of course, Blue Book being an international gathering group, the way the project was designed, it routinely included Canadian cases. In fact, there's many, many Canadian cases in Blue Book. So they came up to investigate themselves. So it was quite a remarkable case investigation that that still has people scratching their heads to this day. Now, those are just two of the cases, and if I was to pick a third one, I might include a case called Langenberg, which is in Saskatchewan. It happened in 1974, where a farmer named Edwin Fuhrer was on a tractor, and as he was going through some tall grass on top of the tractor, he saw what he thought were a number of duck blinds scattered around, and of course it was illegal to set up duck blinds on private property, so he decided he was going to get closer and then hop down and give the hunters a piece of his mind and shake a stick or two at them. But when he got closer, he thought that these duck blinds were actually sort of metallic, shiny silver, upside-down bowls spinning very, very rapidly in the tall grass, and as he approached and they got closer, they took off one by one into the air and flew away, and they left behind swirled patches in the field. The patches looked for, for any comparison, like modern-day crop circles, except this was 1974, and it was studied by QFOS at the time. I think that APRO also had a hand in this as well. It was very intensely investigated. John Timmerman liked to speak about it. He actually went to Langenberg about in the 1990s to speak with the farmer once again. And I had occasion to speak with him and a number of people in the area. And it's a very fascinating case, physical evidence, UFO reports. And the witness was interviewed very thoroughly, and his story hasn't been shaken at all. So,
yeah, Chris Witkowski, talking to Gene and KK.
You're in the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
So you see, long time ago I thought I had a co-host named Chris O'Brien, but he's really K.K. Barnes, right?
Last time I checked my birth certificate.
Okay, well that's where you go. And we have Chris Rutkowski. Chris, you don't have another name to mention, do you?
No, not right now. No, I think Chris Rutkowski is enough of a mouthful.
Okay, Gene Steinberg certainly does it for everybody. They hear that name once and say, that's it, forget about it. Seriously speaking.
How about the, was it the Michalak? Is that how you pronounce his name? Wasn't that a Canadian case, the guy that got zapped?
That is the Falcon Lake case.
Okay. And how do you pronounce his name?
Well, if you pronounce it as the family pronounces it, it's Stefan Mihalik, but everybody says it's Stephen Michalak. So.
Michalak. Okay. I was confused there because the details sounded familiar. I was hoping that you would mention that case.
Yeah.
Of course, Jacques Vallée covered it. It's been mentioned in quite a number of books.
Yeah, and it's been redone. Unsolved Mysteries featured it in a segment. A&E's Unexplained Sightings. It's been done a number of times because it's really so good. It's absolutely fascinating. And in fact, if people want to come up to that area of Canada for a vacation, you can actually go to the exact site where this happened. They actually you can actually go on a horseback ride, a mule pack ride in for I guess $50 a person or something like that, and with a tour guide who'll tell you the whole story and show you exactly where it happened, and you can get a T-shirt and the whole thing. So,
it sounds like Sedona.
That's right. If you want UFO tourism, there's another place to go.
Well, you know, Chris is getting involved now. Our Chris or KK
Barnes. I did
Barnes.
My first one. Oh, my
right.
God.
We have KK Barnes is now sponsoring these UFO sightseeing voyages.
No, I'm not. It's first class charter and tours.
Okay. But if they pay enough money, they get KK.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Okay, well, how about some other cases? I mean, how about the work of Brian Vike? I've been corresponding loosely with him for years. There's a ton of stuff that goes on the west coast of Canada, all the way up into the Alaskan Panhandle. I've been all up and down the Canadian Rockies. It's one of the most beautiful stretches on the planet. And we do have quite a number of interesting sightings from the West Coast areas over to the Front Range in Alberta and out into the plains.
Absolutely. In fact, you can even go a little bit further and go into the Yukon, which has another fascinating classic case dating back into the 1990s, so it's a little bit newer. And this one was actually investigated by a number of people in British Columbia, but The case involved a very large object, and this happened in the dead of winter, very, very cold, as you can imagine, in the Yukon. And a number of people traveling on a highway near Carmax in the Yukon had reported seeing, or they had seen, a very large object that was, you know, hundreds of feet across with apparently some windows. And they watched this thing move very, very slowly and silently over the road down the length of a very, very long ribbon-like lake surrounded on both sides by very high mountains. And it turns out that other people all the way down the lake had reported seeing the exact same object, but at different times corresponding with the length of time this thing must have taken to travel the length of this lake. The most fascinating thing is that we didn't hear about this case until one particular investigator had spent some time going up north. He actually physically went up north to the Yukon and went from town to town because there had only been one particular rumor that something may have been seen. Once he started talking with people person to person, he eventually uncovered 35 different individuals who had not known of each other's existence, had not talked with each other, describing the exact same case, exact same object, very, very large. Imagine a classic Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you know, upside down chandelier type of thing flying over this lake. Everyone had reported the exact same thing. They had not come forward. They had not been publicized in media whatsoever. It had not been previously reported anywhere. And only through a diligent investigation of one particular individual did the case ever come to light whatsoever, and it, you know, to this day stands as one of the best witnessed cases in all of Canada.
Ooh,
I beat you. Hey, I've been up there. I mean, you use the word highway in the same sentence as Yukon. Having been up there, we're talking about vast, vast land with nobody on it. I mean, individuals up there, there may be, what, one person for every 20 square miles, maybe? Even more, 30, 40?
Yeah.
50?
And the towns are very few and far between, and they just because it's right along this lake.
And so are the gas stations.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so basically, your iPhone does not work there.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to get too much cell phone service up there, that's for sure.
No, I'm
Gene,
not going. I'm
don't
not
book
going.
A vacation, Gene.
No, I'm not going. I've got to have the Wi-Fi. If I don't have my broadband, I am helpless.
Your MTV.
I want my... No, I can live without the TV. I've got to have my iPhone. My wife has to have her iPad. We've become spoiled.
Yeah.
But when you find, when you go into those areas that are so sparsely populated, do you find a fairly decent percentage of strange events?
I would say yes. As a matter of fact, just over the past 2 or 3 months, we've uncovered another location in Canada. We actually haven't talked very much about this publicly at all. In fact, it was brought to my attention by a television crew from Quebec. And they're actually soliciting reports from northern Quebec in an area mostly indigenous population near what's called James Bay, which is just a chunk of Hudson Bay, which is, you know, quite a bit north. In fact, it's maybe 8 hours north of any kind of civilization. And the area was populated, and there's a road up there now thanks to the fact that they've been building hydroelectric dams and so forth and reaching further and further into the isolated areas of the Canadian Shield. And what's happened is that as the road got built and more people started traveling through the area, some of the locals started talking about things that had been occurring to them. And this, what's called the James Bay area of Quebec, it seems to be very, very, has had a lot of unusual things happening, from lights chasing people driving on the road. I wouldn't describe it as a highway, kind of like the Yukon, two lanes surrounded by thick bush, but very bright objects chasing people, and then in the few towns that there are up there, very large objects, structured objects moving slowly and ponderously over some of the houses, frightening the bejeebers out of some of the people living up there.
I'll tell you, our benefactors will be frightened. Their bejeebers will be frightened, and lots of other things if we don't break here. With Chris Rutkowski, with Gene and KK, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Has the United States been discovered in the Bible?
Where does Islam fit in Bible prophecy?
Is the new world order world government?
These and other crucial end time questions are answered in the new DVD package, Understanding the End Time, from End Time Ministries. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." After you watch this 14-lesson DVD series, Understanding the End Time, you'll know more about Bible prophecy than the average seminary graduate. This DVD package normally sells for $280, but now is only $199. Order Understanding the End Time DVD package at endtime.com today for only $199 or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-363-8463 or endtime.com.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Hi, folks. Jason Lewis here. Did you know USA Today reports that nearly 20% of parents plan to take a second job to pay bills and support their families? Well, bravo. I applaud responsibility. But I have a far better idea, a way for you to stay home and earn that second income to pay bills or get ahead financially. I recommend starting your own internet-based home business through incomeathome.com. They can help you start earning money fast. No selling soap, no cold calling, and no pressure. No matter your age, education, or experience, you can do this in the comfort of your home. They provide the coaching and they bring potential customers to your home computer. You can literally earn money from your kitchen table. And you know, I recommend incomeathome.com to all of my listeners. So visit incomeathome.com and check out the $1,000 giveaway. That's incomeathome.com. Don't forget to tell them Jason Lewis sent you. That's incomeathome.com, incomeathome.com, incomeathome.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have the famous K.K. Barnes is going to regale us with some musical tidbits and interludes, but not on this show. We're talking to Chris Rutkowski. We've gone to Quebec. We've gone to the sparsely populated areas of Canada. And we find all sorts of strange things going on, all sorts of weird goings on over there.
Indeed, and we're just in the process of working on the 2011 Canadian UFO survey. We haven't finished working on the full report yet, but I can tell you that while not a record number, we're approaching record numbers, and the highest number of UFO reports in Canada for any one year was 2008, when there was more than 1,000 cases reported in one year. And previously, we've been hovering around 700, 800, 900 reports per year, and I think that's where we were for 2009 and 2010.
Of the cases, the increase of cases, do you find more wheat in the chaff there? More cases that can't be explained?
Yeah, I think we do. It seems to be a constant percentage. We're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5% of the unexplained. So the more cases we get, the higher the number of very unusual cases that we'll receive every year. So it is actually beneficial to get as many cases as possible to try and find details. Of course, we can't possibly investigate all of that ourselves, and we rely on individuals from one end of the country to the other, who perhaps have their own groups, who are webmasters for online groups, and for people who take it upon themselves to investigate in their own local regions to help us gather the data. I mean, Sault Ste. Clair in Ontario does some work. You mentioned Brian Veit in B.C., Jim Maroney in Alberta. There's other individuals in other parts of Canada. And what we got ourselves through ufology research here in Manitoba, we do get certain numbers of cases. We also get reports given to us by the government of Canada, which makes our status relatively unique in ufology. We get reports that we glean from places like YouTube and Facebook, and Twitter has been a great way of getting case information and making contact with witnesses over the past few years as well. So we're finding more and more information, and cases are finding their way to us. Witnesses are reporting what they've experienced, and it does seem that people are slowly becoming more comfortable with reporting what they've seen, especially in forums like Facebook, where there's many, many different groups where people can discuss and bounce some ideas off one another. So I think we're in a kind of a new renaissance where UFO reports and UFO reporting are going to be becoming more and more commonplace. They're going to be easier to get more information. Certainly, we're going to get a lot more noise.
If it gets fashionable, we're
right. And that's the big question here, too. Is it because there are more cases to be found, or because people are now more comfortable with these social networking environments to talk about things like this, or a combination?
Well, it's probably a combination, but I think it's the more of the people being more comfortable. I think there's always been people seeing things in the sky but not knowing who to report things to or how to report them. I think the fact that it's becoming more easier and more commonplace for people to, for example, on Twitter, I'm seeing people say, hey, I just saw something. Who do I report it to? And you can actually look at those tweets and try and reply to them directly.
Yeah, in real time.
Find out more information. Pardon me? In real time, exactly.
Yeah, in real time.
Yeah, and that was one of the ideas from some of the early FidoNet groups, like the altufo.reports, which I actually had moderated at one point, and the theory was that everybody could be on there at the same time reporting and exchanging information. And unfortunately, a lot of spammers got involved, and that killed that idea.
Well, in the San Luis Valley, we're putting together a triangulated high-def camera array, pan-tilt-zoom operated, motion detection, motion tracking. And then we're going to have a Skywatch channel for the local community to always have it on. And if we have an event, we're going to have an alert scrolled across the bottom of all the other channels.
That's brilliant, and it just shows you that what the technology can be used for and can be used effectively. I applaud you guys for doing that. That's a brilliant way of using the technology. In Norway, Hestelen did something very similar where they had the cameras going. And
there's a lot of problems up there.
Yeah, a lot of problems too, but the technology is out there and can be used in so many great ways, and your project down there sounds perfect.
Well, looking at the kind of work that you're doing, are we seeing any progress in getting the scientific community to start really looking at it, not just pockets of it?
No, I think the scientific community is still very, very jaded, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that a lot of the information that's being published now online and in print form is by people who are well-meaning, but they just don't have the scientific training and background to really sort through and have good methodology. And it's scaring them away. In fact, I suspect that, if anything, scientists are now even more leery of paranormal or unusual events than ever before. And part of that is because their own professions, whether they're biologists or astronomers or archaeologists, are making progress at such incredible pace, and the communication and this compartmentalization and specialization is getting so very deep that to venture out into an area where the research funding isn't there, and because they all scientists work where they're going to be getting some grant funding, that it's going to be very difficult for people to have their reputations tarnished by looking into a field that, from their standpoint, isn't worth very much at all. So I wish it wasn't so, but I have a feeling that the scientific community is getting a little bit further away from ufology, and that's why projects like yours, and certainly the Canadian UFO Survey, are invaluable for presenting good case data and good information to the scientific community, so that we can say, hey, you're not gathering the data yourself, but here's some data that's been gathered very with good methodology. And with
good methodology, very important.
Yeah. So take a look at this stuff.
Well, thank you. And we are making strides on actually getting the software developed. That's the real curve in terms of development on the project, is getting the motion event detection and tracking and coordination between the cameras. I mean, that's all that's a lot of writing code, right?
And the technology is really the whole story here. As a matter of fact, I just reviewed.
It's there. The technology's there. It's just the time that it takes to tweak code and you know, do all the necessary software work that needs to be done development-wise.
Right, and I just reviewed a book by an astronomer named Dmitry Sasov about search for life in the universe. And in that book, Sasanov makes the statement that almost anyone today can become a planetary or an exobiology astronomer because the technology and the software is so commonplace you could do it with a small scope from your backyard with a decent computer. And you take
the blaze refraction grating and separate the light into light spectra, and it's going to be hard for an optical physicist to argue with properly, you know, gathered data with the proper methodology.
Indeed. So, you know, the technology is really allowing some fascinating developments in all fields, and I certainly look forward to what it can do for ufology. But it doesn't negate the fact that the very foundation of ufology is case investigation. And I've made the statement a number of times that I think case investigation in terms of UFOs is almost dead as an art form or a science.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's something that we really do need. It's not enough to say, you know, that there have been 10 sightings in Nebraska.
Yeah, you need to not only investigate the case real-time on the ground, but you need to go back and visit these people and see how it affected their reality.
I'll tell you what, we have this reality that has to be impacted. Chris Rutkowski is our guest with Gene and KK. You're in
Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Well, at least he's KK and not KKK. We'd be in trouble.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Chris Rutkowski joining us. We're happy to have him indicate that, you know, serious scientific investigation of UFOs is alive and well. But do you think, though, that more and more concentration astronomers place on the possibility, the growing knowledge about exoplanets, planets in other star systems that may fit in that Goldilocks range that might harbor life, doesn't that make them the least bit curious that maybe something's going on right here and now?
Well, I think that there is a very big race on right now among astronomers to find the super Earth. The announcement, it probably will come from some of the Kepler studies, but somebody is going to make an announcement probably within this year, within 2012, that a planet very much like Earth, in fact, for all intents and purposes, Earth-like, will be announced sometime soon. And once you have an announcement like that it's very much like Earth, and perhaps, you know, within a reasonable distance, let's say within 500 light years, and I'm being very optimistic here, but something like that, automatically, if a planet very much like Earth is announced, that it's been discovered, it seems to have the right composition of the atmosphere, it's not too warm or too cold, and it's been orbiting a star for a comparable length of time as our sun has been around, I would suggest that there will be a renewed interest to look at the possibility of whether there's a civilization there, is it possible to communicate with it, and I think people are going to be a little more receptive to the idea of maybe there's some interaction that has taken place, especially if it looks like this planet has been around for a few thousand years, or let's not get too optimistic and say a million years, but some length of time longer than Earth has been around. And that would automatically suggest that civilization might have existed on that place for a long period of time, and maybe they figured out some way of communicating or traveling between the stars. And I think that will really set the tone for a renewed interest in life out there and ways of communicating.
Now, is there any possibility at all that this could lead to some sort of gradual disclosure, that as we become more accepting that life is out there, intelligent life most probably, that creates the climate to express evidence of what's going on here? Or is that
a pipe
dream?
It's possible, although, I've said this before, that I'm not sure what there is to disclose. And what I mean by that is, I don't think that the...
Sounds familiar, Chris.
Yeah. I don't know if the smoking gun is there. even though it's a great website, I don't think that they that we're going to find the little green guys in pickle jars sitting in somebody's laboratory shelf, dulse or otherwise. I think Barack Obama has
already booked network studio time to come out hand in hand with our little gray alien ambassador.
Yeah, absolutely. So I really doubt that there's much to disclose. In fact, the Canadian experience is very different from the American experience in the sense that we've been getting Air Force and official government UFO reports all along. There hadn't been very much to disclose at all. As I say, we have the all the hundreds of documents on the Mikulik or the Falcon Lake case. We do have documents on Shag Harbor, and Stan Friedman has managed to find copies of documents related to Wilbur Smith that were first available in Canada about his visit to the United States, where he made that classic line about the matter is classified at a level higher than the Manhattan Project and so forth. Canada has had a different policy because it's a different country and different regulations regarding classification schemes. And we've had the UFO reports coming to us all during the Canadian UFO survey, where a military officer or somebody makes a report to a military base, the cases are available. So the disclosure there is puzzling. And yet in the United States, we don't know what cases are there because Blue Book was closed by 1968 or 1969. We don't have current information on what's really available.
Don't you think there are current cases somewhere? Are they just forgetting about it, ignoring it?
No, I think the cases are there. But, when we looked at the reports that have been released in Britain, the Ministry of Defense, that Nick Pope has been commenting on, for example, and even the cases that we get here in Canada, the cases, by and large, as I mentioned, we're looking at only a small percentage that we can't explain. The cases are not all that particularly interesting. So if we're looking for disclosure, we should be looking for something that's more than just lights in the sky, more than just, a low-flying something on the distant horizon or something that's in orbit passing overhead. And those are the types of cases that we've been getting in terms of reports that are available. If there's something being seen more than that, let's say by actual military personnel as a group or gun camera footage and that type of thing, that may exist, but I don't know whether any disclosure movement, marching on Washington or the Million Man or the 537-man march on Washington as opposed to, as far as the disclosure movement goes, is going to accomplish very much at all. Because it could be that it's so far buried that we'll never hear about it, or simply that there's nothing there. It would be nice to think that the discovery of an Earth-like planet might lead to a little more liberal offerings, and perhaps, if we're talking science fiction scenarios, if this planet out there is discovered and contact is made, and we eventually hear from them that they say, "Oh yeah, we've been visiting your planet since about 1947. What are you talking about? You never replied to us." The government would then say that we knew about it all along.
Chris, I think you missed your call in, man. You should have written a screenplay already.
I'll talk to Tracy Torme about it. He's good on those things.
Well, we get you and Tracy together.
Yeah.
And
it sounds like a great storyline for a screenplay.
Absolutely. Well, I'm still looking for Magic Man. That's the story of Stan Friedman and a few others. IMDb is still listing it as being released in 2012. So one of these days we might see that movie be made.
Well, no, possibly on December 31st, they'll make it 2013. What happened, though, is they have to finish Man of Steel first, and that's the middle of 2013.
Man of Teflon.
And Iron Man 3,
Right, and then, of course, they'll decide to make Avengers 2, and I don't know. And maybe they'll decide to have a sequel to The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, well, and, of course, there have been some interesting UFO movies recently, and people have said, well, maybe that's preparing us for the truth, too. We had Super 8, and
right.
There was District 9, that was my favorite.
District 9.
Certainly not cowboys and aliens.
That was one
like District
favorite.
9. Aliens have been, you know, put into the townships in South Africa. There's just something weirdly poetic about that. Weird.
Yeah, there's some great science fiction scripts out there.
Right. Well, I have one, but it's called Attack of the Rockoids. And I don't want to tell you about that, but it's a really good story because my son and I wrote it. Chris Rutkowski, tell us where we can find more of the stuff you do.
Well, you can certainly look online. My blog is uforum.blogspot.com. My most recent book is The Big Book of UFOs, and it's big. It's, you know, 400 pages.
Wow.
And it covers a summary of some of the most interesting stories and cases of the past number of years. And you can find that on Amazon. Just look for me, Chris Rutkowski. And I have 9 books right now that are out, and I think at least 6 or 7 of them are still available.
The abduction book has 1 copy left. You better get some more to them.
That's right, yeah.
Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, we're always here at the Paracast interviewing, I think, pioneering scientists like Chris Rutkowski. And I think it's important for everybody out there to, you know, to go to ourstrangeplanet.com when it's totally put back together.
And we're working on that. Chris Rutkowski, thanks for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Thank you, KK and Gene.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.